Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, verses 1 to 27. Verse 1.
Shishuvacha tasya sarvesharupasya shiram sitini bharata sahitam sarapitam anadam iti shushma.
Shishukadev Goswami continued, Vishwarup, who is engaged as the priest of the demigods, had three heads. He is one to drink the beverage somaras, another to drink wine, and the third to eat food. O King Parikshit, thus I have heard from authorities. So what do you remember from yesterday afternoon? Sankirtan? Right, Parikshit Maharaj was not so interested in the Narayana Kavacha. It was not for him. He was already protected. He was safe. Okay? Anything else? Remember from Narayana Kavacha. Some of the requests for protection. Pluck out the eyes of the enemies. That was one interesting thing to remember, yes? So this Narayana... Right. Devotees who are in trouble, the pure devotees, they don't ask for help. They just depend on the Lord in any situation. So this mantra is for the Sakam devotees who are also very pious. They are accepted in Bhagavad Gita. It is Krishna very pious. So it is for them. Yes? Okay. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, it won't bear fruit. What is that? Sampradayana vihina ye mantas te nishvala mataha. Without receiving a mantra in sampradaya, it has no value. Okay? So now, from the Narayana Kavacha, we're going to see how Indra behaves with his guru, who just gave him the mantra, not very nicely. So here, he had three heads. He's talking about the three heads of Vishwarup. And in the purport, Prabhupada urges us to believe in the Shastra. Prabhupada says, one cannot directly perceive the kingdom of heaven, its king, and other inhabitants, or how they perform the various engagements, for no one can go to the heavenly planets. Now here again, they can't go to the moon. Every time Prabhupada likes to bring this in, although modern scientists have invented many powerful space vehicles, they cannot even go to the moon, not to speak of other planets. By direct experience, one cannot learn anything beyond the range of human perception. One must hear from authorities. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami, a great personality, says, what I am describing to you, O King, is what I have heard from authoritative sources. This is the Vedic system. The Vedic knowledge is called Shruti because it must be received by being heard from authorities. It is beyond the realm of our false experimental knowledge. So here Prabhupada is encouraging us to have faith. Why should we have faith in the Vedic authority as opposed to the scientific authority? Why should we actually have faith? Madhavendra Puri. It is coming from the breathing of the Lord. Okay? It's a Purusheya. It's not different from the breathing of the Lord. Okay? What about yes? Sankirtandas.
In all situations, we have to rely on some kind of information or source of information to know anything.
So to know anything, we have to rely on some source of information. So we can choose our senses or other people's senses. Okay, and if it's beyond our sense perception, we have to rely on authorities. So this is... Yes. If you rely on scientists, then?
First of all, the sources we get purification.
Okay, so if we rely on the scientific sources, we don't get purification. We may get an expansion of our sense perception, but not that purification. If we hear from the Vedic authorities, we get purification. Yes. Okay, a radio transmission?
Yeah, if you want to know what he's
Okay, you can try and guess what's on the radio program, but if you have the program, the actual written down what's on it, then you know. Okay, so in the same way, we have the Vedas, which are a program. We have the scriptures. Yes. Descending method, right. The difference is that one is descending process, the Vedic process, and the other, the scientific, is ascending. Okay, we'll go on. Verse 2. O Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods were related to Vishwarupa from his father's side, and therefore he visibly offered clarified butter in the fire while chanting mantras such as Indraya Idam Saha, this is meant for King Indra, and Idam Agnaye, this is for the demigod of fire. He loudly chanted these mantras and offered each of the demigods his proper share. Haribo. Although offering clarified butter and the sacrificial fire in the name of the demigods, without the knowledge of the demigods, he also offered oblations to the demons because they were his relatives through his mother. So Vishwarup is about to get himself into trouble, because Indra is going to find out what he's doing. Because Indra is very afraid of the demons, and the whole purpose of a Narayana Kavacha is to use it against the demons. So now his Vishwarupa is doing sacrifice for the demons. So Indra will not tolerate this. Verse 4. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishwarupa was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons, and in great anger at Vishwarupa, he cut Vishwarupa's 3 heads from his shoulders. So how to repay your guru for the knowledge he gave you? This is not good. Thereafter, the head meant for drinking somaras was transformed into Kapinjala, Franklin Partridge. Similarly, the head meant for drinking wine was transformed into a Kalavinka, Sparrow. And the head meant for eating food became a Titiri, Common Partridge. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin, he repentantly accepted the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then, to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for the sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. Verse 7. In return for King Indra's benediction, that ditches and the earth would be filled automatically, the land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. So Prabhupada says in the purport, because deserts are manifestations of the earth's diseased condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmin. So my question is, why would anyone ever want to live in the desert? What's in the desert?
Oil.
Yes. They get oil, and oil means
gold,
money. So that's why people go and live in the desert. And money means kama. So you have kama, artha, kama, sankirtan.
I'm not clear what it says here. In return for King Indra's benediction,
the ditches would be filled automatically. You know, if you get a hole in, there's a hole in the earth, that means that the earth will fill it in. If there's a hole, then automatically, I mean, that's what I understood. At first, when I read it, I thought water would come or something. Yeah, so the deserts are the curse on the earth. They're the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmin.
No, the
ditches. Yeah, ditches means holes.
Yeah,
it'll be filled with dirt, I imagine. They would auto with plastic. No. That
but
is not the benediction.
The curse is double fold. It has 2 aspects.
That's the benediction. One's a benediction. The first one, the benediction, the ditches would be filled automatically. So that's a benediction. That's good. The earth likes that. So then they'll accept his sinful reaction in exchange.
See,
he's distributing his sinful reactions in return for giving benedictions. You see? Now you got it? Yeah. So their benediction for the earth was the ditches would be filled automatically. Okay, I mean, some of these do appear like curses, but actually they're benedictions. Verse 8. In return for Indra's benediction that their branches and twigs would grow back when trimmed, the trees accepted one-fourth of the actions for killing a Brahmin. These reactions are visible in the flowing of sap from trees. Therefore, one is forbidden to drink this sap. So the sap from trees? Sap. When you see it, there's a tree and they cut a hole inside. In Mayapur, they do that, right?
Yeah.
All the time.
Date,
yeah, toddy, it's called. And you've been taking it for years. So this is a sinful reaction for killing Brahma. Okay, at least you offer it to Krishna. So then you don't get the... Yeah, like juice from the trees, sap of the trees. Sometimes you see it coming, it's very like thick liquid. What's that? Ravan? Oh, rubber tires, really? I didn't know. That's honey. That's not... Okay, you can discuss that after. No, that's another discussion. He says no, so you can decide on that after class. If it comes from... It comes from trees for sure, but which part of the trees? Huh?
Amazon forest, they had so many of these trees.
Who? In which place? Oh, in your country, Brazil?
Yes, especially the best.
Okay, he's the authority here.
Yeah, not for
tires,
not for car tires. Yeah.
Oh.
Acha?
Okay, you can discuss it after class. Yeah, making cool the body. But here it says if you take that sap, you're sharing a sinful reaction. They sell it, of course. They sell so many things. So anyway, yes. Okay, now we're on the branches and twigs. Next, verse 9. In return for Lord Indra's benediction, that they would be able to enjoy lusty desires continuously, even during pregnancy, for as long as sex is not injurious to the embryo, women accepted one-fourth of the sinful reactions. As a result of those reactions, women manifest the signs of menstruation every month. Verse 10. And that sounds like more like a curse than a benediction. Verse 10, in return for King Indra's benediction that water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed, water accepted one-fourth of the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided. So bubbles in your water means impurities. So it seems like people, all the cold drinks have bubbles. So now we know this is not good. I don't know. That's something else, I think. Huh? Okay, if you drink carbon dioxide, Madhavendra Puri says, you're drinking death. Okay, you breathe out your waste product from breathing out.
So now you're taking that waste product into liquid again.
So they put that in the cold drink. That's what's in the cold drink, carbon dioxide. So you're drinking death. Okay, drinking death. So think twice before you drink death. Yes? Okay, it's purification. Finish the sinful reactions. Okay, you finish paying your dues. Okay? It's one way of looking at it. Verse 10. This is the purport of verse 10. If water is mixed with milk, fruit juice, or other similar substances, It increases their volume, and no one can understand which has increased. In return for this benediction, water accepted 1/4 of Indra's sinful reactions. These sinful reactions are visible in foam and bubbles. Therefore, one should avoid foam and bubbles while collecting drinking water. And that means cold drinks.
Except for Ganga.
Ganga
and bubbles.
Yes, according to nectar of instruction. Nectar of instruction. Of course, it says taking bath. Does it say collecting? Of course, it's understood. So it's always pure. Ganga is never impure. But water, ordinary water, don't take if it has bubbles or foam. Foam is an impurity. So much foam in lassi. Well, it's not water. Okay. Anyway, Haribo, let's go on. Verse 11. She's talking about lassi with all the bubbles. After Vishwarupa was killed, his father Tvashta performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, "O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay." Unfortunately, Prabhupada says in the purport near the end, instead of chanting the mantra short, Tvashta chanted it long, and its meaning changed from the enemy of Indra to Indra who is an enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, there emerged the body of Vritrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. So here is a Sanskrit. Prabhupada was talking about the Sanskrit in the purport. Are there any other words? Are there many words like that? Adi Purush, if you chant it the wrong way, you get a whole... Or are they all like that?
Quite a few.
What, give us an example. Here we have, what is it? Enemy of Indra. Indra Shatru. Niyam Agraha, Okay, Niyam Agraha or Niyam Agraha? One is one thing and one is the other thing. Yes. Guru and Goru. Yes, a little difference in pronunciation. One is cow, one is guru. And in the early days, we would say Sri Goru Charana Padma. And Prabhupada tolerated. He says, "I know they're calling me cow, but they don't mean it. They mean well." Vanamali. No. So when Kumbhakarna was asking for a benediction from Brahma, it was, then instead of, he wanted to live eternally, and Nitya? Nityatvam he wanted. He wanted to live eternally. Nityatvam. Instead he said?
Nidratvam.
I will sleep eternally. So Saraswati went on his tongue and kind of made it say something wrong. So we are not independent, even in our chanting, how we chant, the Sanskrit. Yes?
Asakti and asakti.
Oh, asakti and asakti.
Asakti means detachment.
Asakti means detachment, and?
Asakti means attachment.
Asakti means attachment. So, okay, so be careful how you pronounce your Sanskrit here. Someone might get the wrong idea. But we think of asakti in terms of attachment to Krishna. Yes.
So in devotional service, Krishna is Bhavagrahi.
Bhavagrahi Janardana. That's why he accepts the mood. He accepts the mood that we are chanting. So Prabhupada, yes. One more, okay, give us.
Namaste
Saraswati Devi. Used to be Devam. Devam and Devi.
Saraswate
Devi. Acha. Saraswate Devi. Saraswati Devi, yes, Saraswati. Yes, there's all kinds of pronunciations. Saraswati, Saraswate. So Prabhupada says, but actually, Shuti doesn't mean you have to learn Sanskrit. He says, and he was explaining that now it's in English, it doesn't matter if it's Sanskrit or English, you have to learn by hearing from the proper person. So the point is Shuti, but not actually the Sanskrit. He says, Prabhupada was explaining this where, I don't know, I think it was in a, yes, here it is. No, I don't have the reference. Okay, anyway, I'll just tell what Prabhupada said. That the Vedic mantras are called Shruti, not Sanskriti. Shruti. Shruti means hearing. So it doesn't require you have to learn Sanskrit. We have so many disciples, it's not they first of all learned Sanskrit. They simply heard, maybe in Sanskrit or in English, it doesn't matter. Let him hear the real fact. He says, although the Vedic mantras are in Sanskrit, the process to understand is to hear. He says, it may be any language, hear and understand, he becomes perfect. And then probably, because a lot of, some, in fact, I even heard one person saying that you can't go back to Godhead unless you know Sanskrit. In one class, I heard somebody saying that. So, yeah, you have to catch the deviations that you hear. Some, yeah, sometimes they have this idea in India, many people have this idea, that without, he said that? Yeah, he defeated that, Shankaracharya. So Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't find you learn Sanskrit, then you become perfect. Krishna says, surrender to me, then you become perfect. He says, no harm if you learn Sanskrit, but it's not the only condition that you have to learn Sanskrit, then you can understand. Then he started asking, who knows Sanskrit amongst our devotees? And they said, Pradyumna. He was the only one. Prabhupada said, he knows a little bit. So, this was the thing. I don't know. I have it in at home. I didn't write it here, actually. So then, at the beginning, 1970... there was a man, Mr. Parikh, and he was teaching Sanskrit in the temple. And he said, this is nice, but the main thing is you have to learn how to pronounce the verses, just like you've chanted Govindam verses in the record. So everybody has to chant along with musical instruments, and it will be charming to all the people of the world. He said, we'll have our world Sankirtan party, and we'll show them how to chant Ishopanishad, Gita, Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhita. Well, that was Prabhupada's idea, that we learn to chant. Yes, Brahma Samhita. Gita, Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad. So he said the main aim of the Sanskrit class should be how you can learn the chanting in the proper accent. It is not our aim to become Sanskrit scholars. So that was in the very early days, 1970. Letter to Guru Das. Hmm? Yeah, they started the World Sankirtan Party in going to London. And that was Guru Das and Jamuna and Malati and Shamsundar. They started it, but then they just ended up, you know, staying in London, making the temple. Then he came to India, and he was trying to do it there, but then, you know, just... Oh, you mean the Sanskrit? Yeah, no, actually, I think that man actually started preaching Mayavad, as far as I remember, this Mr. Parikh. And then Prabhupada said, okay, finish Sanskrit class. No more Sanskrit class. Usually that's what happened, is these people would come and they would say, okay, I'll teach you Sanskrit, but then they would also teach their philosophy as well. We had one Mayavadi, I remember, in Boston where I joined. But he was very humble. He would go out on Harinam all day long, and he would distribute magazines back to Godhead with us. And he was very nice. Prabhupada allowed him to come. You know, it was kind of a controversy. Should we allow this Mayavadi sannyasi to join our movement or not? But he was sannyasi, yeah. He was a sannyasi, Mayavad sannyasi, but he was very, very humble. He was going, and but he didn't stay. He couldn't. He didn't stay. Yeah.
There's also a danger you should then see.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Yes.
Once a person learns Sanskrit, he starts finding fault with
Prabhupada. Exactly. And this is what happened. Pradyumna was okay, but then after Pradyumna came Nittai, and then they start seeing. You know, they say, oh, it can be interpreted so many ways. Prabhupada did it this way, but actually we can see so many different meanings in the Sanskrit, so why not this way and why not that way? Yeah. Well, he did it for first and second cantos. Yeah, pretty much. But he had it checked by Pradyumna. But then as it went on, like I remember third and fourth cantos, Pradyumna was doing it and Prabhupada would check it. It was like doing the opposite. First Prabhupada was doing it and he would check, and then Pradyumna was doing it and Prabhupada would check. I remember that. Like third, I think. Huh? Word to word, yeah, word to word. Not translation. Prabhupada always did translation. But in Bengali, Prabhupada did it, because I did the tapes in Bengali. Actually for Sanskrit, I can't remember, I was typing the tapes on fifth canto, some of the fifth canto tapes. I think Prabhupada did it, actually, also. Sometimes he did it and sometimes he didn't.
In the tape,
yeah, on the tape, yeah. He would do, in Bengali for sure, Because that's how I learned how to read Bengali. That's how I learned Bengali is from Prabhupada. I didn't know it before, but and then I heard him, and then I would read it, and I hear what he said, and then I'd know how to pronounce it. And then he did each word. That was in 1973, where I was typing Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapters 13 through 17. Fifth canto. Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually he did do it. He did do the word for word, actually, when he comes to it. Yeah, to check it. We check it, and to make the... Oh, we did the transliteration. The typist did the transliteration, but Pradyumna would check the meanings and the transliteration as well. Because we did the transliteration on the spot, and we were hearing it, and then we would just type it. We had to know how to do that immediately, just hearing and then type it into English. We did that as well. Yeah, I have to stretch my memory. But as far as I remember, Prabhupada must have been doing. Okay, now we're going to read a bunch of verses. Verse 12. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire, known as Andvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of a millennium. Like arrows released in the four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill and was as lustrous as a bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. He appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble, as if from an earthquake. As he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up all the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. That very fearful demon, who is actually the son of Tvashta, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vritra, or one who covers everything. The demigods, headed by Indra, charged the demon with their soldiers, striking him with their own transcendental bows and arrows and other weapons. But Vritrasura swallowed all their weapons. Struck with wonder and disappointment, upon seeing the strength of the demon, the demigods lost their own strength. Therefore, they all met together to try to please the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, by worshipping him. So this is what the demigods said. Vayavam paraknya apshitayas chiloka brahmatayo ye vayamut vijanta haramayasmai balimantakosa bipetiyasmad avanantatona. The demigods said, the three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations unto time by performing our work as time dictates. The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord, who alone can give us full protection. So they're seeing Vritrasura as a representation of time. For them, and you know what time means for them? Kala means death. Death. They're seeing Vritrasura as death personified. End of the purport, Prabhupada says, although the time factor is fearful to everyone, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore known as Abhaya, fearless. Taking shelter of the Supreme Lord brings actual fearlessness, and therefore the demigods decided to take shelter of the Lord. So who is fear personified? Of course, Vritrasura at this point. Who else is fear personified? Yamaraj and? Who? Lord Krishna. He's fear personified for some people, yes. For Kamsa, Mrityu Sarvaharascha, Krishna says.
Fear,
yeah. Who is fear itself? Yamaraj, okay, Yamaraj. Yamaraj. And where's the verse? There's another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about this point. Fear personified is afraid of Appana Sangsitim Goram Yanama Vivishogranan Tatta Sadyo Yabibeti Sayambaya. 1.1.14, that if you chant the holy name even unconsciously, then this is feared by fear personified. And this works in your dreams, and when you're hovering between life and death, you can chant the holy name. Under anesthesia, anytime, you can chant the holy name. Yes. Okay. Did you lecture on that verse today?
No, nearby.
Nearby, okay. He gave Hindi class today. So, fear personified is afraid of Krishna, but Krishna is afraid of Yashoda's stick. So just imagine. Here, fear personified is afraid, but Krishna is afraid of somebody too. And that's Yashoda, the stick of Yashoda. Yes, Adi Purush. Okay, fear personified is son of the Vasu Niriti and Nikriti, Akriti?
Or?
Nikriti.
Nikriti. He is actually the prince of Yavanas and husband of his daughter of time, Kalakanya.
Oh, okay. He is the prince of the Yavanas and the husband of the daughter of time, Kalakanya. And he is fear personified. Because when he comes, what happens? When this prince of the Yavanas comes, what actually happens to people? Jara, old age, that's his wife comes. What happens when he comes? You get afraid, yes. But his soldiers is described, I think, as all the diseases, right, that attack you, along with Jara. And so many diseases, just like, you know, it's one after the other. As soon as you hit a certain age, your body's worn, and then the diseases all attack. And then you get fear. Fear personified. Then you're attacked by fear personified, this Yavana soldier. His name is Baya. What's his name? Baya? Baya. His name is Baya. Okay, so it comes along with Jara, and death follows very soon. And so many diseases, that's all the soldiers that get attacked, that attack you. This is what reference, Adi? You don't know. Okay, anyway, he has it. You can look it up in fourth canto. Fourth canto. You can look, it's like, anyway, you look it up. 484. Okay, 484. That's a dynasty of irreligion. Dynasty of irreligion. Narada refused to marry Kalakanya, and then he got cursed again. So Narada got cursed twice, actually. He got cursed by Daksha and he got cursed by Kalakanya. Both the same curse. So it's double curse. Okay, there's another verse I'll give you. Third canto, 29th chapter, verse 37. And I'll sing it for you. It's about time. Rupa beras param divyam kala ityavidiyate bhutanam maharinam itabhinadisham hayam. The time factor who causes the transformation of the various material manifestations is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know that time is the same Supreme Personality is afraid of the time factor. So how not to be afraid? Just see it, that this is Krishna coming. As Prabhupada saw when there was bombing in Calcutta in 1940s, he saw this is Krishna, universal form. Of course, it's not a very lovable form of Krishna, but it's Krishna nonetheless. And the pure devotee is always ready to meet Krishna in whatever form Krishna comes. He's ready. Yes, come. Verse 22, another prayer by the demigods. Avis itam tam paripurna kamam svenai balabena samam pishantam Vinopasapatyaparam hibalisha salanga lenatititartasintum. Free from all material conceptions of existence and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations and therefore he is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. We have an illustration of this verse today by Bhagavat, who didn't make it to class today. But anyway, she's present by her picture. And we have, here we have, who is this holding the tail of the dog?
Fool.
Fool. I know it's a fool, but which fool? Which fool is holding the tail of the dog? Who is that fool? Demigod worshipper. Okay, demigod worshippers. Could be demigod worshipper. Who else could he be? Impersonalist. Who else? Veda Vararata. Oh, yeah. Veda Vararata. Okay. Who else? Naradama. That we know. He's fool. He's lowest. But who? Fallible soldiers. One who's attached to the fallible soldiers. So Grihamedi. Grihamedi. It could be a Grihamedi. Could be Karmakandi. Who else could this man be? Who are these fools? Who is this fool? Yes, demigods, Karmakandis. Let's see what Prabhupada says in the purport. A dog can swim in the water, but if a dog dives in the ocean and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding the dog's tail, he is certainly fool number one. I saw a dog at, where was it? In Goa, I think. He jumped, because all the other dogs were chasing him, so he was cornered and he jumped in the ocean. And then he was swimming, but then the tide took him out. And so he was being taken out and to the side, so he was all the way down to the edge. And he was struggling like anything just to come back from the tide, but I don't know if he made it or not. But I left him there, I saw he was struggling for at least an hour trying to swim back in. So,
a dog,
yeah. Because like they have packs of dogs on the beach, and if you go in the wrong territory, each pack has a certain territory on the beach. They claim their own. So if the dog goes into the wrong territory, then he gets chased by all the others.
So he ran into the ocean for shelter,
right? So, but what is this ocean? Is the ocean shelter at all? People actually, they do take shelter, but they take shelter of the ocean by grabbing the tail of the dog. What is this ocean here? Material existence. Struggle for existence. So people think we will win the struggle by holding the tail of the dog. Similarly, a dog cannot cross the ocean, nor can a person cross the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Similarly, one who desires to cross the ocean of nescience should not seek the shelter of any demigod or anyone else, but the fearless shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Samashitaye parapalava param mahat param punya yashamarai param bahir vatsa param 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 yavipadam natesham. The Lord's lotus feet are an indestructible boat, and if one takes shelter of that boat, he can easily cross the ocean of nations. Consequently, there are no dangers for a devotee, although he lives within this material world, which is full of dangers at every step. One should seek the shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. So how is it that we're in this place and there's so many dangers, but here Prabhupada says there's no danger for a devotee? How is it that we see sometimes it looks like there's danger for a devotee? Well, how is it that it's not? There's no danger. How can it be, Dhamma Krishna?
Because even if he leaves the body, he will be with Krishna. So
yeah, even if he leaves the body, he goes to the spiritual world. Yes.
Situated in the boat of transcendence.
Okay, we're in the boat of transcendence. So the boat might be rocking a bit, might get pushed, we might fall down, but actually we don't go overboard. Hopefully, unless you jump overboard, then you're finished.
Spiritual master is the able captain.
And the spiritual master is the able captain of the boat. Madhavan Puri? Narayana para sarve na kutashana bibhyati. Tulyarta darshina. Okay? Because
For him, there is no misery because he's always Narayana or Vasudeva Parayana. I forget which one. Narayana Parayana. Yes?
It's mentioned by devotees. Yeah, training will be non-devotees. Say, they speak something against
it. Okay. He says, for devotees, okay. He's making a distinction here, Vanamali, between devotees and himself. He says he's not a devotee, but he's trying to be a devotee. So for one who's trying to be a devotee, there's danger. But for one who's a devotee, there's no danger. Interesting. What about for one who's trying to be a devotee? Is there danger? No. Nishinga says no. You shouldn't think that way. Why you're thinking like that? You just hang on to somebody, you know, some strong devotee.
Yes, I follow.
Yes. Madhavendapuri? Salpam apyasatarmasya chayate mahatobayat. That is... Even if you're a mixed devotee, you'll be safe from the most dangerous type of fear. Isn't that nice? Don't worry. Krishna says, yes?
In the past time of Vajramila, it was clear that those who even chant once only or who have any slightest inclination towards the Lord, they are not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj anymore.
So even if you chant once, Namabhas, you're not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. He cannot come, they cannot come near. And Krishna has his club, Vishnu has his club. If anyone comes by the devotee, he will smash. Like Ajamila, yes. We are like, we may be like Ajamila, yes. In Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Those who are on this path, yes, he quoted that verse, that there is no loss or diminution. For anyone who is a devotee, you do slight service. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam, what's the verse in Bhagavatam that confirms this statement? Chakta sataramam charanam bhujam pare. Bhajana pakvo tapatetato yadi. Mushyakyam. Govarta apto bhajatam sataramata. 1:5:17. Even if you're immature and you fall down, no failure. And even if you're a perfect pakka, karma kandi, there is no gain. If there is no service, no bhakti, no gain. Nothing good. Okay, yes, so this we have to understand. No danger for the devotee. And if you think there's danger, then you go find someone who's a powerful devotee and hang on to their lotus feet. So Prabhupada also explains that protection is there for all of us. And he wants to give protection, but we don't accept Krishna's protection. This is a lecture in LA in 1973. That he wants to give us full protection, but we don't accept full protection. And you know what the condition is for full protection? Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender. Prabhupada says, give up your own manufactured, concocted means of protection. Surrender to me, and I'll give you protection. So this is, oh yes, Akutopayam. This is the path, Akutopayam. There are many verses of Akutopayam, how this path is. What's that? Ita nivijyamananam. Acha. Ita nivijyamananam. Okay. So then Prabhupada on this particular verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about the dog, He gives some people who are holding the tail of a dog, those the scientists and the philosophers, they are holding the tail of a dog. And also, he's very heavy. He says, if you take to yoga, karma, or jnana, then you're holding the tail of a dog. So he was talking to Dr. Patel. He says, all of this karma, jnana, yoga, they're all failure. It's like a dog's tail. So Dr. Patel says, oh, we should come to the ship of Krishna. He says, that's what we are deciding. We'll come to the ship of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, yes. Ship of Krishna. Boat of Krishna. Verse 23. Yasyo rishinge jagatim swanavam manur yathabhat yatatara durgam sevanastvascha payadurantat chata shitanvari chiropinunam
Vimanu, named King Satyavrata, formerly saved himself by tying the small boat of the entire world to the horn of the Matsya Avatar, the fish incarnation. By the grace of the Matsya Avatar, Manu saved himself from the great danger of the flood. May that same fish incarnation save us from the great and fearful danger caused by the son of Tvashta. So here is, don't hold on to the dog, hold on to Matsya. Tie your boat to Matsya incarnation. This is much better. So the demigods are giving suggestions here how they can kill the demon Vritrasura. And they're also, Brijan's comment is that this Matsya Leela is much more difficult than what the demigods, just some small demon they want him to take care of. And Matsya did much more. So it should not be difficult. This is a very small feat. But actually, in all these prayers, you see the demigods, they're saying, we want an incarnation. Some kind of incarnation should come. But will an incarnation come? No. Krishna has another plan. An incarnation will not come. Again, Indra is going to have to get into trouble and do something. He will have to kill a Brahmin, pure devotee. So no, incarnation, but still the demigods are trying. And they're giving these prayers, verse 24. In the beginning of creation, a tremendous wind caused fierce waves of inundating water. The great waves made such a horrible sound that Lord Brahma almost fell from his seat on the lotus into the water of devastation. But he was saved with the help of the Lord. Thus, we also expect the Lord to protect us from this dangerous condition. So they're expecting. They have an expectation here. They have request here. We are expecting something now. Now you are here. And he's not. He hasn't appeared yet. But they are praying and they are expecting that please come, please come. And it's not as bad as, you know, the devastation, beginning of creation, so much devastation. Not such a bad situation here. Just some little demon. Not a big problem. You just come here and help us this time, please. We're expecting you to come. So, verse 25, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created us by his external potency and by whose mercy we expand the creation of the universe, is always situated before us as Supersoul, but we cannot see his form. We are unable to see him because all of us think that we are separate and independent gods. So they're hinting that, you know, it's time for creation, it's not time for devastation now. Devastation, it's not the time. You should help us. We're your expansions, and we're trying to help you create by your mercy. And we're expecting you. We know you're already here as Supersoul, but we cannot see you in this form. They know Supersoul exists. Actually, you don't have to incarnate. You're already here, but the problem is, what's the problem? If Supersoul's there, we don't see you. This is the problem. We know you're here. All of us know Supersoul's here, but we can't see. Of course, maybe some of you are Supersoul realized, could be, but we cannot see. So why can't we see? What's the problem? Why don't we see Supersoul?
We feel independent.
Separate. We feel we're separate. We want to be independent, and we want to be separate. Yes. If you control your mind, you can see the Supersoul. It's not a no problem. You can see Supersoul. You just control your mind by the yoga process. It's true. The yogis, they see Supersoul. You have to, but before you see Supersoul, you have to control your mind, because the mind wants to see so many other things. Yes. Why can't we see Supersoul? Any other reasons? Yes. We're eating the fruits. We're busy taking the fruits. Yes.
Our senses are not purified.
Yes. We have internal senses, but those senses are not awakened yet. We're just depending on our external senses to live in this world. But our internal senses are not developed. So therefore, we don't see Supersoul. Purport. Here is an explanation of why the conditioned soul cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, face to face. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Why you cannot see him? Avajananti mamudha and?
Okay, premanjana, devotees can see. If they premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, what else does Krishna say in Gita? Chibir guna maya bhavai, ebi samaridam jagat. The three worlds are bewildered. Icha dvesha samutena. You're getting closer to the verse I'm thinking of. Icha dvesha samutena. Naham prakasha sarvasya, yoga maya samavrita. The one after that. 26. Yes, he said that first. Because we're mutas, Krishna comes, we don't see. He's standing right before you, and you'll see the demigods. He'll be. Now they're saying, we don't see you. But when we hear the prayers this afternoon, they will see him. And they still won't understand anything about him. They'll see him face to face. And they said, "Well, are you under karma or what?" Vedaham samatitani. That's 26, 7:26. Yes. Yeyatamam prapadyante. As you surrender, I reveal myself. That's good. 4:11. Okay. If you look in chapter 7, from verse 25 through 27, those verses were quoted, and 9:11 and 4:11. Okay. We're in the purport. Even though the Lord appears before us as Lord Krishna or Lord Ramchandra and lives in human society as a leader or king, the conditioned soul cannot understand him. Avajananti mamudha. Well, that's where you got it from. Manushim tanumashita. Rascals, mutas, deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking him an ordinary human being. However insignificant we are, we think that we are also God. We can create a universe, or we can create another God. This is why we cannot see God or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're not God, but we think we're God. Why aren't we God? How come? What's the problem? So some people think they're God, actually. Why not? Why can't you be God? Huh? There's already one. There's only one God. You can't be God. Sorry. Position is taken. That's one reason. Why else? We're energy of God. What's a more practical reason that we can see? You know, somebody tells you, I'm God. Okay, raise your hand. Malavanpur. Nityonam. Okay, Ekobohunam. Okay, yes, Vidatati Kaman, that he is supplying the needs. Who is supplying our needs? We have to work hard. Now, God doesn't work. God doesn't have to work. Yeah. We can't control our nature. How can we be God? You can't stop smoking, these people. We can't stop so many things. Toothache. Yeah, I know about that. I have toothache. Can't stop your toothache. And one of these gods, Burijan tells a story, he got a toothache. And he had to go to the dentist. So that was the proof that he was not God. One of these gods, godmen. Yes. He cannot create also, yes. Okay, yes. You couldn't hold up all the universes, okay. That's why you're not God, yeah.
God is everywhere and we are here and at the same time.
Okay, God is everywhere, all pervading. And you are just in one place, in one body. So how should I believe that you're God? Yes?
He's full in six opulences,
and you're so ugly, you know. You can't, yeah. Yes. He knows everything. And you tell me how many hairs you have on your head? Yes, Adi Purush. Okay, one person claimed to be God, came to one of our ISKCON temples. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, he came to the temple and the temple president examined whether he was God or not. He says, oh, we respect you very much, but for our benefit, could you recite the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? So that's a good. Yes, since you must, you know, you don't forget. You say in Gita, you spoke it millions of years ago, but you never forget. So please. That's really good. That's a good one. Yeah. What you want to ask?
You can ask like lakhs of Bhagavad Gita ascetics to distribute.
Oh yes. You can distribute. He's going to engage God in book distribution. Brother Mali, train him up. Yes, Damana Krishna.
There was one yogi claimed to be God. So some person came, he just left him. So he said, if you are God, how you didn't know I will step you. So
okay.
He left back to him.
Yeah, actually, so there's this one guy who claimed to be God, and then somebody just slapped him. And he says, okay, if you're God, you know, show us. Actually, there's another example. There was one Mayavadi in where was it, in South Africa. And one devotee challenged him. They were having a program. The devotees were having a program, and they had Radha Krishna deities. So what he said, you're God, okay, put your feet on Radha Krishna's head. And the guy was defeated. Because he wouldn't, you know, they have respect, at least, for the deities. So he couldn't do it. That's how he was defeated. And of course, if he had done that, people would have gotten him anyway. If he would have put his feet, then everyone would have, you know, finished him. Yes, God is controller. What can you control? What are you controlling? Yes.
History,
present, past. Even the sages know present, past, and future. What to speak of God? Present, past, and future. Okay? So we have defeated this person now. He thinks he's God. So none of us should think we're God also. Defeat your false ego. Preach to your false ego. Verse 26, 27. By his inconceivable internal potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into various transcendental bodies as Vamanadeva, incarnation of strength among the demigods. So now the demigods are listing various incarnations and they're hoping, you know, one of these people should come. Your Vamanadeva, you came. Parashuram, incarnation among saints. Nrisimhadeva and Varaha, incarnations among animals. Matsya and Kurma, incarnations among aquatics. He accepts various transcendental bodies among all types of living entities. And among human beings, he especially appears as Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. By his causeless mercy, he protects the demigods who are always harassed by the demons. Hint. Now they are hinting, we demigods are being harassed right now by this demon. He is the supreme worshipful deity of all living entities. He is the supreme cause, represented as the male and female creative energies. Although different from this universe, he exists in his universal form, Virat Rup. In our fearful condition, let us take shelter of him, for we are sure the supreme Lord, supreme soul, will give us his protection. So he will give protection, but not maybe in the way you think he will give you protection. So they have some ideas, and they're giving suggestions here that, you know, you could have an incarnation at this point, and we would be very happy, and we're expecting it. So they've got, you know, they're giving suggestions in their prayers. You know, there's a demon here, and, you know, when you incarnate, you defeat the demons. So we're expecting you. End of the purport. Prabhupada says, to generate the universe, the Lord acts indirectly as Purusha and directly as Prakriti. So how does the Lord act indirectly as Purusha to generate the universe?
Glance.
Glance, okay. His glance. That's one, yes, glance. And expanding on that, he glances at the universe. Shiva, yes. Shiva carries the glance. And directly as Prakriti. Because both energies emanate from Lord Vasudeva, the all-pervasive Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is known as both Prakriti and Purusha. So here's an understanding of why he is both Prakriti and Purusha here. Therefore, Vasudeva is the cause of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. So here it says he incarnates to protect the demigods. Does anyone know a similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says he comes to protect Indra, Indrari, Vyakalam Loka, Mridayanti Yuge, Yuge, Ete Changsha, Kalapunsa, Krishnastu, Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari, Vyakalam Loka, Mridayanti Yuge, Yuge. So in the first canto, there was a list of incarnations. And in that list, Lord Krishna was picked out. And he comes to protect. So in that purport, let's see, I always ask this question and I'll ask it again. In the purport, Prabhupada describes different incarnations and what was their opulence. So Parashrama Nrisimha displayed unusual opulence by killing disobedient kshatriyas, and also Hiranyakashipu, it says here. Parashrama Nrisimha. What opulence did Narada, Varaha, and Buddha show? Narada, Varaha, and Buddha, an unlikely combination. Here we have Narada Muni, we have Lord Bor, and we have Lord Buddha all together.
Knowledge?
Nope. Knowledge is others. Of course, renunciation, no. Varaha didn't show renunciation, yeah. Yeah, that's Varaha. Not Narada and Narada and Buddha.
No.
No. So what they showed, they created faith in the mass of people. Narada Muni, Varaha, and Buddha created faith in the mass of people. People were faithless, and these three created faith. So Ram and Dhanvantari, what did they? Which opulence do they show?
Fame.
Ram, Lord Ram?
Fame.
Fame, yes. Then we have Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana.
Beauty.
And Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara, and Kapila.
Gyana.
Yes, Gyana. Nara and Narayana Rishis?
Renunciation.
Okay. So Prabhupada says all the different incarnations, indirectly or directly, manifested different features, but Lord Krishna exhibit complete features of Godhead. Thus it is confirmed he is the source of all other incarnations. Okay, so then we'll hear what happened. The Lord will appear before them, and then they will speak again, and they will give their requests again this afternoon. We'll hear what are their requests, that when the Lord comes face to face again, they will say some prayers. And we'll see what requests they ask for again this afternoon. So, we have any, and what the Lord will reply, I think we hear tomorrow. Yes? Kapila, knowledge. Sankhya philosophy. Kapila, Kumara, and Matsya. Because Matsya instructed Satyavrata and Dattatreya. These four gave transcendental knowledge.
Renunciation,
Arunarayana Rishis. Dattatreya was impersonalist, yes. But he was Vishnu also, expansion of Vishnu. Impersonalist. And and he is quoted in Bhagavatam in 11th canto. I think his teachings are there in 11th canto. Okay, any other questions or comments? Purpose of Narayana Kavacha. Yes, it was fruitive. Indra wanted to use it to defeat the demons. That was the whole purpose. Yes, you can see the mood of the demigods. It's definitely, this is what we want, over and over again, please protect us, give us protection, kill the demons. So it seems like the demigods are very fruitive. And how to understand this in relationship with the verse, Tarma Prochita Kaita Vatra, that all these things are kicked out from Bhagavatam? That's a very good question. So, you came to a conclusion? Were you in the group, or?
I might have. In terms of the 10 topics.
In terms of 10 topics.
Bhagavatam, we understand the established.
Right, all these established ashraya.
Yeah.
All the 9 topics.
So when we hear about that, it's like even yesterday we were reading that, and the devotees naturally go, why are they asking Krishna for that?
Yes, why are they asking Krishna for that?
For unlimited sex life.
Right.
Prabhupada said, once you know that verse,
yes. Prabhupada said, don't ask for the benediction of unlimited sex life like Daksha. But still, all of us, at some point, we were mixed devotees, or we may still be mixed devotees. So therefore, it should be drilled in our head, don't go to anyone but Krishna. Don't feel ashamed. If you have some desire, go to Krishna for it.
And we see that with the benedictions and the Sakana devotees, there's also some difficulty.
Yeah, there's always some difficulty. Indra's going to have a lot of trouble now with how the Lord decides to protect them. It won't be as they want. Let him do all the work, and we just sit here and watch as the Lord incarnates and kills the demon. It's not going to happen. We would like that. Sometimes we pray. We hope, oh yes, Krishna will come. He will remove all my distress. But he may come and give you more distress. Right, second canto is going
about
on
creation,
about creation.
So the same function is there in one sense, because like when we hear about the Virat Rupa, it's naturally not,
yes,
it's not appealing to pure devotees.
Hearing about Virat Rupa is not so appealing to pure devotees.
Although Prabhupada says that devotees like to hear about everything in connection with Krishna.
Yes, devotees like to hear everything. And there is one statement which Devamrita Prabhu made in this connection, that for the pure devotees, everything material is spiritual. And for the non-devotees, materialists, everything spiritual is material. So it's according to your vision. So someone may hear Vishwarupa and have such a great, pure love for Krishna. It may increase his love for Krishna and his appreciation of Krishna. And this was Parikshit. Yes, Parikshit Maharaj. It was, why did he ask these questions? It's increasing his attachment for Krishna. Udipana, it becomes udipan, or stimulus, impetus for love for Krishna. Anything. He looks in the world, you see a tree, you see, Prabhupada was like that. He could see something and immediately he would, his appreciation for, he would express how this increased his appreciation for Krishna. So, yes, Madhavanapur.
Sukritana. They are not, even though they are Sakama, but they, when he's saying something even more far out, he's saying they are not Sakama.
He says they're not Sakama.
They're not Sakama.
Yes, Vishnu Chakravarti says these fruitive devotees, they're not Sakama.
They're just in ignorance.
They're just in ignorance.
But they're not Sakama.
Right, they're not Sakama devotees. So, amazing. Yeah. Mercy. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Yes, I think it was in fifth canto.
They're not
Sakama devotees. Damana Krishna.
Since the Lord is spending Bhagavatam, some like desire for enjoyment, like, say, like, philosophy of Purva Mimamsa, when it is described,
okay, yes,
there is some frustration.
Yes, poor. So there's the philosophy of enjoyment, the demigods, they want to enjoy. Then there's frustration. But what we're going to find out, actually, we haven't heard the whole Leela yet. We just saw the beginning. And what we're going to find out is that that we'll see two. We'll see Indra and we'll see Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, the demon, is the pure devotee. And Indra, the demigod, the Sura, is the mixed devotee. So then this is the wonderful thing about this Leela, is that the demon turns out to be the hero, actually. And he's going to be preaching to Indra, do your duty, kill me, you know. Yeah. Right. Well, we had a purport. If you can find that purport, then you could. He would understand. No, Vishnu Chakra. In one purport we read, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said they are not Sakama devotees, but they're simply in ignorance. If you could find that, then that would be helpful. Yes.
We get confident, even our Lord, we are not losing anything, even Lord having capacity to give anything, but still we want pure devotion. Like,
okay, Lord can give anything, but still we want pure devotion. Okay, that's the mood of the pure devotee, even if we get opulence.
When we read this Narayanika Vachara, everything, but we see Lord having the capacity to give, fulfill the, all the even material desires.
Yes, so it creates the faith that the Lord can fulfill your desires. Krishna can give everything. You don't need to go outside. You don't need to go here and there. You just chant Narayana Kavacha and you'll be protected. Or chant Hare Krishna or chant the Shingam Mantra. It's to increase the faith of those who are mixed devotees. It's trying to bring everyone to the level of pure devotion, actually. Yeah, you're not missing anything. Everything is here in Bhagavatam. Okay, Sharanya? Vritrasura was Sakam in his previous life. He wanted a son. So remember that. And now he turned out to be a pure devotee. As Chitraketu, he was a mixed devotee. And then he got purified by the preaching of Narada and Angira Munis. Okay, which verse is this now? You got it? Oh, it's something else. Who? Yeah, Vichashura, yes. Vichashura, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Vichashura is one of the highest devotees in whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, yes.
Never has a happy end. The person never gets satisfied by that.
So we see in Bhagavatam that it's all these people who have material desires never has a happy ending.
Yes,
they never get their desires fulfilled.
Sometimes they renounce.
They get their desires fulfilled, but it doesn't make them happy.
Yes, so it's teaching like this. That
yes, teaching.
If one has material desire, one may strive for that, and we get the result is, and still he's not satisfied.
Right.
He has to surrender to Krishna.
Just like Dhruva, he got it. And when he got it, he was so ashamed. Why did I ask for this? And Yayati also, he'll get his youth back, but then he'll enjoy, and then he won't be satisfied even after so many thousands of years enjoying.
So the purport is 518.21.
518.21 is this for the
Sakam
Bhaktas. 518.21. They are not Sakam Bhaktas.
How does it say?
Oh, this is from Lakshmi Devi, huh? Okay, listen.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained that even if the devotee wishes the Lord to fulfill a particular desire,
devotee wishes the Lord to fulfill a particular desire,
shouldn't be considered
Sakam devotee.
And then he goes, the Artha and the Artharti,
Artha and Artharti,
who approach the Supreme
for relief from misery,
or for money,
they are not Sakam devotees. This is. Although they appear to be, this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur speaking. Neophyte devotees are simply in ignorance. 718, they are all magnanimous. Ooh, Dada, Krishna says. Although in the beginning, devotee may harbor some desire, in due course of time it will vanish. Akama, savakama, va, mokshakama, udarati. Yes. Okay. So if these guys aren't Sakam, who is Sakam devotee? That's a good question.
He is not saying that Buddha is not. He is saying that.
No, he says they're not Sakam, right? Doesn't he? He says they are not Sakam.
This is in regard to 518.21.
518.21. Oh, yeah, but it will. We will hear about this. Prabhupada will call him Sakam. Yes, Indra will be described. Prabhupada will describe Indra as a Sakam devotee in some future verses, that he's the Sakam and Vichashura is Akam devotees. It will be described. There will be a purport discussing what's the difference. I don't remember if it's today or tomorrow, I think. Today or tomorrow. I can't remember which. Yes. Demigod worshippers. Okay, so this is a difference.
I mean, that's a possible way of looking at it.
Okay, Sakam devotees are those who worship the demigods.
They have no connection to the Lord. And as soon as somebody turns to the Lord,
but we're saying Sakam.
In a sense, he's never Sakam because.
Sakam devotee, though. Sakam devotee.
Yeah.
Sakam devotee.
Well, he can be Sakam by demigod, but it's not a devotee.
Devotee of demigod is not a devotee.
How
we call it? Well, he Sakam.
It's bhakta, yeah. Bhakta means Krishna, nobody else. So it depends on who's giving the commentary, that's what I say. Vishnath is very kind and munificent. Now, others are not going to accept this. They will say they are Sakam devotees. Even Lord Krishna will say they are Sakam devotees. But they are Udara. They are munificent, but they are Sakam. Arto, Jigyasa, Rattati, Jnanicha, Paradarshpa. These are Sakam. They are Udara, but they are Sakam. Right. So Krishna, she's comparing to the sun. You go to him with your material desires and he transforms them or gets rid of them. Actually, Krishna says he gets rid of them. Because what he does, he doesn't give the material desire, but instead he gives his lotus feet, the Charinamrita, from his lotus feet. So you forget the material desires. Why should I give poison to these people? Yeah. Well, the thing is, he doesn't want to give something that will make you come back again for more. That's his idea, his thinking. Vanamali?
Human beings who are like artha, artharthi, they are very easy to purify.
Because artha and artharthi are easy to get purified.
Just a human being.
Human being.
But when demigods, they're like life after life, they're living.
Oh, and demigods, it must be harder, more difficult, Vanamali says. Okay, more hard to purify. Well, most of them have a service to do as well. So it's hard. Abhay, did you have your hand up? No. Yes. Okay, well, is it on the same? Okay. Sakam Bhakta is in ignorance. Neophyte devotee. They're not Sakam because they're in ignorance, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Okay, the only way to become Akam is to have knowledge. Yes, to come in that. It's nectar devotion, I think. Oh, our teacher is not here. Nectar instruction says, nectar devotion says.
Can he describe in
716, 717? Yes.
Is Jnani Bhakti Parama?
Yes, the Jnani described in Bhagavad Gita is.
Jnani Vimukta Bhakti Parama.
That's a Jnani Vimukti Bhakti Parama.
Jnani Vimukta Bhakti Parama.
Vimukta Bhakti Parama. It's a very high class devotee, this Jnani, who comes. Yeah, the ones described in Bhagavad Gita. He's a devotee. That's why Krishna says he's so dear to me. He's of everyone, he's dear. He's the most dear. Very dear to Krishna. Because he has knowledge. He has knowledge. And that's why we have the Vaihi. So everyone gets knowledge. And they don't leave ISKCON.
And this Jnani should be considered like a rugged or Jnani,
a monist. Not a monist. No. Shukadev Goswami, four Kumaras, so don't get any ideas that we are Vimukta, all these things. Yes. Four Kumaras and Shukadev. Anyway, you can explain it in more detail later. Dashamula, okay. Dashamula. Okay, let's go to another topic. We have some time, yes. He was killed, yeah.
Wants to have revenge.
Yes, Tvashta wants revenge.
And so he performs this, does the job.
He's supposed to do the job. But unfortunately, he chanted the wrong mantra. Tvashta chanted the mantra the wrong way. So instead of Vitrasura doing the job, Indra's going to do the job on Vitrasura. No, he wants him to kill Indra. It's no job is done in any of these battles unless the leader on one of the sides, usually they have to die. And that's the job. And most of these battles, not all, of course the demigods don't die. So it makes it difficult.
Why is it says the mantra was chanted wrongly? Because the effect is basically so far is all right now. It's going.
Yeah, so far, but the end will not be the way Tvashta wants it. Yeah. We'll see in the end. Of course, Vitrasura will be happy. Well, no, he chanted the mantra wrongly also.
Yeah, that's Prabhupada said that. I was wondering how he chanted it wrong, the enemy of Indra.
Yeah.
Indra is an enemy.
Yeah, so it means that Indra is going to kill Vritrasura, and as opposed to Vritrasura killing Indra. It means that he created someone to kill Indra, to finish Indra.
Yeah.
But instead the opposite is going to happen because he chanted the mantra the opposite.
Indra, who is an enemy.
Yeah, Indra is the enemy of Vritrasura. He will kill Vritrasura. Instead of Vritrasura, the enemy of Indra, who will kill Indra. See, so right from the beginning, it's predestined. Yeah. Adi Purush. Who? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we're going to hear from. Tvashta was in the forest performing austerities.
That's why he performed his yagya only 1 year later.
Oh, it was 1 year later he performed the yagya. Oh, yes, for 1 year he suffered. So he performed the sacrifice 1 year later because he was in the forest and I guess he didn't get the news. Okay. Commentary to 697. Okay, Indra was purifying his elements, bhutanam. He was purifying the sin which is residing in the four elements of his body.
Brahmahatya,
earth. Earth, water, fire, and air.
That's why he split it into four parts.
So he split it into four parts.
And gave each of the four parties
So we got earth, we got trees.
Water.
Water is there, yeah. Fire and air.
And demon.
I think earth got
We got earth, yeah. We got earth and we got water. Now fire and air.
Trees got water, then demon got fire.
Fire?
Water got air.
Water got air, okay. Earth, water, fire, air. Ah, bubbles in the water, yeah. Okay. Fire. Fire, fire. Ether doesn't get contaminated. So there is no need to purify the ether. Earth, water, fire, air.
But the subtle form of the sin still remained in his
false ego. So the subtle form of the sin still remained in Indra's false ego. Oh, okay. So that the sin that was remaining in Indra's false ego, the subtle sin, sprouted from seed. It was a seed and it sprouted into Vitra Hatya, or killing of Vitrasura. He was also a Brahmin. So this is how the sin, he didn't get rid of all his sins. He got rid of earth, water, fire, air. Ether's okay, you don't have to purify that. But the subtle ones still remained. And he, Vritra Hatya, means killing of Vritrasura. That was the seed of the sin that remained. When you commit a sin, then the reactions are there. And you get it physically, and there's also subtle thing. Another thing that happens when you do something sinful, you create a desire in your heart to do the same sin or another sin. Yeah, you get a desire or a seed in your heart and it sprouts at some point or other. Yeah, kutam. Yeah, prokivati. Or you get a desire, actual desire to do this again. When you do a sinful act, then you get more desires. That's the reaction of the sin. So he had that. And to kill, he killed once. Again, he got the desire, he killed again. So Vritrasura is the next.
So the three elements.
Earth, water, fire, and air. Air is the water he gave to the water. Bubbles in the water is air.
So what is water then?
Water is the tree. Sap coming from the tree. Earth is the... Earth, desert. Dishes. Yeah. Deserts. Yeah. Deserts. Even...
Atonement.
If you do atonement,
still
it is there. Yes, if you do materialistic atonement, so he did some atonement, but actually, he didn't. It wasn't fully removed, and we know that from the history of Ajamila. Before that, the discussion between Maharaj Pariksit and Shukadeva Goswami, so the subtle was not removed, the desires and the subtle was no. Okay. Madhagopal, how is this?
Why is it here?
Why is it here? Why is this topic here in Bhagavatam? Mixed.
Seventh canto.
Yes.
Following here, then it makes it clear because there the accusation comes that the Lord is partial.
Yes, so why is it here? Because when we get to seventh canto, the accusation comes, why is the Lord partial?
Yes, so then there's a whole discussion that the Lord is not partial.
The Lord is not partial. He gives even to those mixed people. He helps them so many ways. Yes?
He's actually indifferent.
Yes, he's indifferent. And here, just see, the demon goes back to Godhead. He gets, you'll see, it's like... Yes, Hiranyakashipu. Yes, he's affectionate to his devotee. At the same time, he's giving liberation to the demon. Yes, Adi Purush? Oh, go ahead. We get a deeper understanding by seeing the gradual also progression of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? Okay, Adi Purush brought up a nice point that although the participants may not be pure in this lila, the principle of Sharanagati is there, of surrender to the Lord. So this is shown. They're doing Sharanagati, they're surrendering.
And it's even more pure or not.
Yeah, actually, for the pure devotee, if he surrenders, he doesn't care if he's killed or not. But if a mixed devotee surrenders, then it's very important to see this. It's very graphic that how he's protected by the Lord. If you have some problem and you're not a pure devotee and you ask the Lord and how he protects you, how he saves you. So this is very inspiring to read about. Yes. Dhamana Krishna.
This text area,
Okay, everything is spiritual, so this Dharana Kavacha is worshipping the Lord accompanied by his paraphernalia. Okay, now in defense of Narayana Kavacha, it's all spiritual and we're worshipping the Lord's paraphernalia and his incarnation. So there is a spiritual side to it and you can appreciate that it is spiritual as well, Narayana Kavacha.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you realize, you'll see the mistake of asking for material things. Okay. Madhavendra Puri. Queen Kunti says no one knows your pastimes. They only imagine you're partial, yes.
So, and Baba is saying, I see that the Lord is always impartial.
The Lord is always impartial, yes.
I mean impartial, sorry.
Impartial.
He has no object of envy,
no object of favor.
According to how we place ourselves as the recipient of this mercy,
right.
Of the issue of mercy.
It's according to how we receive the mercy. That's how we get it. If we're open, we get full mercy. Now this is 1:8:29. That the mercy is open to all Vritishers, taking full mercy and just taking partial. Yes.
We discussed this a little bit this morning. So the idea also there is that when the Lord gives mercy to the devotees, sometimes it seems like he takes everything away.
Yes.
So
sometimes he gives mercy to the devotee, he takes everything away and it looks like they're in so much difficulty.
So what partiality?
So yeah, how can you say that the Lord is partial? Yes? He's not partial.
Right.
Yes, we agree.
I know that you're agreeing. I'm just making the point that
he's making a point.
Of
the expression of his impartiality.
Whereas the materialist, they think partiality means
So the materialists think partiality means they give you benedictions. But actually, sometimes he puts his devotees into difficulties, and that's his mercy. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tattanam shanai. And Kunti says, Vipada santuta shashvat, again and again you give me these calamities.
So this statement of Kamar, ABC.
Yes, it's the beginning. It's the beginning.
Yes.
Of course, everything in Bhagavad Gita is expanded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll see that all the way throughout Bhagavatam. Yes. Vanamali. Dharma Prajita Kaitavatra, second verse. We read Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, that the religion is given by the Lord.
Next sloka, it's only known by the 12 Mahajans.
Yes, only the 12 Mahajans know Dharma. Okay, Shukadeva is sometimes giving instructions
to. Not that, like he's just narrating the story again, he's giving, this is you have to do.
Yes.
And you do, then he's narrating some story.
He's narrating and then he's giving instructions as well.
That's why you have to learn the Dharma only through the Mahajans.
So that's why you cannot manufacture religion, you have to learn through the Mahajans. Very good point. Any last Sankirtan?
Now, the Narayana Kavacha was.
You mean Narayana Kavacha?
Yes.
We always remember Nisshinga in this class because Nisshinga comes, but today he's not here, but that's alright. It seems it doesn't really work. Yes, it will work. No, you will see it working. Yes, yeah, they have to do another. Yes. So Sankirtan is having a doubt here. It seems like this Narayana Kavacha is not working. Vritishara is attacking. And what happened to the Narayana Kavacha? Better come to this afternoon's class and tomorrow's class and find out. Yes. Well, you need more. They tried Narayana Kavacha, but then they killed their guru. You know, what do you expect? You know. They killed the guru who gave him the mantra. Now, you know, if that's gratitude. You know, he gives you the mantra, and then you kill. You know, I doubt, I'd also doubt at this effect here.
So they destroyed the benefits.
I know. You hear your guru gives you your mantra, and then you kill the guru, and oh, my God. No, they're in trouble again. So they got in trouble, you know, obviously. It's a reaction.
Yeah. Elevated.
He's very elevated, so. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he's thinking of both. It's just because of his affection. He has father and mother.
He has affection, and
he says both should get benefited.
Yes.
Why only one should get?
He's thinking equality, but it's not. That's politics. Doesn't work that way. Yeah, no, Indra is, you know, it's politics. And if you, you know, it's like a double spy or something, you know. He's on the... Yeah, right, well, if somebody's paying you, you know, like Indra's, you know, taking, you know, asking Vishwaroop, it's you know, he's paying you to spy for the, or, you know, to for his side, you know, then he finds out he's a traitor, you know, then that's it. You know, it's like how the government double...
He has a double vision.
Of course. Well, this is the material world. This is the material world. Yeah. Well, he's in a higher. He's a sage. He's a sage. So he's a sage. He's a Brahmin. So Indra is a Kshatriya. They don't have the same level of vision, of course. Okay. Yeah, Indra's. Indra's punishment was harsh. Actually, we don't know what his punishment was. It just says he suffered. Oh, his punishment of, yes.
Maybe Vishwaroop was doing something wrong, but he didn't need to cut
his head. Yeah, no, he didn't need to cut his heads off. That was really too much. No, I don't know what happened to him after that. We don't hear about it. Yeah, don't get in Indra's way, or else, yes.
What is the meaning of this bird came out of his head?
The birds came out of his heads. Oh, yeah, Vishwaroopa lives on. Yes, this is what happened to Vishwaroopa. He became three kinds of birds.
Partridges.
Yeah, partridge, sparrow, and titiri. Okay, we've got... He's three kinds of birds, so he lives on. Probably, maybe the beginning of the species.
They live in a pear tree.
They live in a pear tree. So, yeah, so this is the three... Do you know anything about the three birds, Adipurush? No, okay. Anyway, so in this way, in this sense, he didn't die, but he... He became three birds. Three birds. Yes, Lila Shuka. Indra received the Narayana Kavacha. In Russia, at the end of the 80s, they were praying for protection of devotees in Russia.
Yesterday evening, I spoke with Krishnadas Prabhu.
You spoke with Krishnadas Prabhu?
He was at that time, he was Pujari of the Nishinga Farm in Germany.
Okay, Krishnadas was Pujari of Nishinga Farm in Germany. You're worshipping Nishingadev. Every Sunday fire yagya in Germany
for Lord
Nishingadev.
And for the protection of the
for protection of devotees in Russia.
And I have the procedure there.
Oh, he's got the procedure if anyone's interested.
Yeah.
Nishinga Super Mantra.
Bhutas,
Pretas, Pisachas. So collectors of Nishinga mantras. Okay, how long is it?
Six, seven lines.
Okay, so you can see Lila Shuka after class if you're interested in the Super Nishinga Mantra. And yes, here we have everything in this class. Yesterday we had also nice CDs and books. So today we have your Nishinga Mantra. So we'll stop here because it's overtime. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.